And no one tells you that it's called all day sauce because you're literally in front of the pot all day.
That's right.
So like I made it that way one time and I'm like, this is, everyone's outside having fun and I am stirring sauce. So right. I think I'm just going to throw it in the crock pot. Don't tell anyone I do that.
Listen, I grew up in that home. I am Italian and I'm like, this is not worth it.
Yes, my sauce.
That's blasphemy in my
It is in my own home too. I know. All right, we're gonna have to delete some of those things we said. If it gets to my family, I will be put in an oven. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of His Spirit, do better. So together, we can be a little better. What's up? Welcome to A Little Better. We're so excited that you are joining us. No matter if you're watching this or listening to this, we're excited to have you. And, you know, we've been in the middle of this parenting series where we've talked about discipline this week, and we're actually going to pause. We're going to answer all your questions next week. But today, we're going to talk about parenting, but a different angle of parenting that we don't often view through the lens of parenting foster children. And so we are joined, if you're watching, you can see this, but if you're listening, you can't see this. We are joined by two special guests. We have Dan and Tiffany. And so Dan and Tiffany, why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself and just talk a little bit about who you are and even how you met as a couple.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm Tiffany. I am originally from Tennessee, grew up there, been in Rochester for about 15 years now. I met my husband online. When we left our first date, I went home and told my roommate that I'd met the one that I was going to marry. No joke.
Wow, Dan, that's impressive. Right. It's usually the opposite way.
I brought my whole game that day.
I think we're... Yeah, we both like sports, so I think we bonded pretty quickly over screaming and yelling at football.
Can we just pause here? Because I need to just admit to our audience that they are New York Giants fans, and so this was one of our leeways and allow, like, we just dropped our better judgment and allowed you guys to be here despite that fact. But so everybody has flaws, guys. Oh. Everybody does. We're all sinners. It's okay. Oh. You're forgiven. I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
You knew it was coming. From a Dallas fan.
You knew it was coming.
I'm Dan. I am a huge sports fan, obviously, a huge Syracuse fan. Funny thing about second date was my wife decided to ditch me and thought that was the end of it. She somehow thought I ditched her. Luckily, we got talked after that and figured it out, and here we are.
So to get through all that, you knew God was obviously involved in it. And so how long have you been married?
7 years.
Okay, 7 years. And so you guys are in the middle of foster care, something that we love as a church. And so one, let me just thank you for that. I think it's amazing. I think what you're doing is a picture of the gospel for children in the Rochester community. And so just to honor you guys, thanks for your investment. And so just... tell me how in the world what led you to that? Just tell us your story about how that happened.
So I think that it's always been a part of the ministry that God had laid on my heart. I've always been drawn to kids, and not in a creepy way, but just I could speak to them and I relate to them, and it's just, it working with them is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when we first got together, we joked that we would foster. Mm-hmm. That's something that we'll do after we establish our family. And then I walked through three times cancer treatment, and that left me with the inability to carry a child. And so it had always been there, but we were just kind of like, hey, God, we'll do it as soon as we tried like adoption. And then we went, talked about surrogacy, and we did different routes. And then the whole time God had just kept pressing on our heart, you need to foster. And so we were like, hey, let's just go to the classes. We'll get it out of the way. We know we want to do it, but our timeline, not God's timeline, right?
Sure. Don't you hate that? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Don't you hate that?
And so I think we had finished the courses, and they called like a week later and was like, hey, we have this kid. And then you're just like, you know what? I think, maybe. And we just dived in after that.
That's so cool. Now, I want to go back because I know there's going to be people listening who are maybe walking through what you've already gone through and just like, hey, you can't carry children. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, if you feel comfortable, yeah, of just that process, how God worked in it and how you just navigated it. Because I know there are people in our church who are dealing with that right now. Mm-hmm. And just talk about that journey that God took you on from both perspectives.
I think that God grew my faith and I watched my husband's faith grow while we were walking through this. It wasn't easy. And I think the healing came when we were both able to just let go. And so you have this picture of what your family will look like.
Yeah.
And you think that it's not going to be as satisfying or fulfilling if it doesn't fit your mold. Yeah. Right. Again, God is so big and he is so good. And so once we, I think for me, it was like shove it down and just pretend that it's not there. Mm-hmm. And so this nagging like feeling, and I think we went through the series of lamentation and where I had thought, I already spoke my piece to God and I shouldn't lay it down again. God, you've taken care of it. It'll be fine. And then it was just learning to lament and it was okay to be upset that this was the route that we were going to go and to that, you know, I am still, like, I was trying to use a baby to fill a God-sized hole. And so once I realized God was enough, like, he was so good. And he filled all those spaces of the hurt and the anguish. I watched my husband's faith. And he was so already there before I could be there. I thought, like, oh, I'm not a good wife if I can't give him his kid, right? And he's like, oh, no, I'm good. As long as we have a family, I'm good. Like, whatever. And so there was this moment where we were like, are we okay if it's just us? God, if this is our plan, like how do we expand? How does our house look like? How does our family look like? And it was just, he used all of that brokenness to one, prepare us for what fostering was going to look like. But to also heal spaces that we didn't even know needed to be healed. So like my relationship with my own mother, right? Like those spaces where you're like, oh, this is how she should have been. Realizing I was going to use my family to heal what I thought I should have had as a child. And so I was able to let go of all of that grievance, and be able to be like, okay, God is so good, right? He filled so much of that it no longer needed to have that peace. And again, it's a ebbs and waves, right? Like there's times I get up, I'm still a little hurt and a little upset. And it's like, but that's okay. I just dig deeper into my faith, into him, and just gave the unfiltered version, which I think is hard sometimes to do, because I wanted my prayers to look like what God thought they should be. Yeah. I'm like, oh God, I'm so thankful that we walked through this and that I'm unscathed outside of this small little piece that I'll just push down.
Yep.
And then when I just really just cried out, and we did it together. Like we just,
diagnosis number one was, oh, we got this. We do this. We can do this ourselves and blah, blah, blah. Diagnosis number two, just God, we literally can't do anything about this. Like, please.
Diagnosis one, he came home with like five different books about like how we can eat differently to heal it and to do these things. And so, I think it was like a literally on our knees in the middle of our living room, crying out like, God, there's nothing we can do. This is yours.
It was almost like God was like, you're still not getting this. So here you're going to learn like to rely on me.
Yep.
And just had to at a certain point, you're just like, I literally can't do anything about this. It's yours, you know? Mm.
And it's, you know, we listen to a podcast and we think that's a day in your life, but we know that was a journey, right? Mm-hmm. And so how many years from your marriage to that journey to, hey, maybe God has foster care for us?
I think it was about 4 years after the diagnosis that we realized that we always knew that it was something we wanted to do. And so it wasn't a way to fill our family. I just don't want to put that out there. Like, oh, we're just going to have a family. We're going to foster. It was like, we know that this is a ministry that always kind of struck my heart, right? Like, it was there in it. It was about 4 years. Then we did the class. And then the first kid that we had in our house, we realized how unequipped we were to be parents.
Well, they gave us a 16-year-old girl to start out with. So that was,
that was a tough one. And so it was, we watched retrospectively, because I feel like I love when people say hindsight is always 20/20. We had a case that showed us so many different aspects of fostering, but all of the ways that God loves us and how we could love in this community. Mm. And so it was like this one revelation when I was like, I don't understand why she doesn't get it, God. Mm. Like, she knows I'm not that person. I'm not going to do this to her. I am like, you know, like, why won't she let me love her? And then God was like, that's what you do to me. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I do, don't I? Right.
No, I don't.
And so it's like, how many, because my sin issue's the same, right? Sure. It's not like there's different things that trip me up. It's always the same things that I kind of stumble on. And so God showed me in that, like, and I'm still here for you, and I'm still loving you. And so I learned in that season, I think, that love is not this googly moogly feeling, that it is an action.
Yeah.
And that I was loving on this child who was hard, that was making it difficult for me to love her the way that I thought I should.
Yep.
It makes sense. And so that we just kept doing the things that got, you know, God kind of love on her.
No, you're good. You're now in the foster care system, right? How many kids have you have been in your home? What was the journey to just get started, right? I know, like, it's not like, oh, hey, we're ready, send us kids. Like, tell us about the process of like the training, and how many kids have you had in your home, and just what that journey has been like.
So we've had 7 total in our home in what, the last 2 years, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. Something like that. Started out, we just signed up to go to the classes. I think we had to go through like 6 weeks of training, maybe something like that.
I think it was 10 weeks.
Oh, was it 10? Oh, sorry.
Felt like 10 weeks. 15 weeks.
Yeah. A lot of stuff you should definitely already know, but they have to teach you. And then, yeah, they give you a certificate, and I think, like you said, within a week or so, they called us with the first kid, so it was pretty quick after that. Yeah,
they did, like, a home study.
Yeah.
Yep.
They made sure our house was safe. We, like, got assigned, like, a house finder that was, like, we have an intimate relationship with, that she knows you, tons and tons of paperwork. Yeah. Like, getting a mortgage. They do background checks. Yeah.
Okay, and so you're 2 years into it, okay? Mm-hmm. Just tell me how God has used it in your life. What has he taught you through it? And what that looks like now?
I would say, for sure, patience has been taught to me, like, to a level I never thought you could be patient, this patient, but... And yeah, kind of showed us things that we didn't think were real, like the amount of abuse that is out there. Mm-hmm. It's so sad, and it breaks your heart, literally. Yeah. And I don't know if you want to expand on that.
You're good. He taught us to trust, because in my mind, I thought I knew the answer to all of the situations with our kids. He just, the amount of love that you could have. I thought we are on the path right now to adopt one of the kids that were in our home, which we had no idea that we would end up doing. And all of those ideas of, like, I would only love a biological child is so, like, I couldn't imagine loving anyone the way that all of the kids have came through our house in the different ways. But just that, and it just showed, like, how much he loves us as he adopts us into his family, and that's no different than anything else. And so that it just that he spoke peace into a lot of spaces where you just throw your hands up, because the plan that I thought was going to work, like, I'm going to have such a great day with him, God, we're going to do these things. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, that just burnt on fire, and what are we going to do? And so just peace with, like, it's okay. We don't have to have this, like, massive plan or all of these activities. Sometimes just spending time with them and listening to them and talking to them was all that they really were craving. I've said before that, like, God broke me so that I could mother the broken. And so, so we're, you know, being able to see what God's doing in their lives. And I know that we're not always going to see those seeds and watch those grow, because they leave. But there have been very key moments where we're seeing, like, introducing him and seeing him, like their decision making and their thought processes around a God that they don't know, has been just amazing. To have one of the kids say, like, you know, like, oh, what are some things we could do when we're upset? And she's like, we could pray. And I'm like, oh, I love it. You know, like, and it's so unprompted. And just to see him reflected through them is just amazing. For my own walk, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
just to see, like, it's almost God in a whole different light, because I feel like you almost feel your own childlike remembrance of him, of that just unfiltered faith, right? Yeah. Where a lot of times I try to give God the directions of the things that how we could walk through, like, God, here's my prayer, and I've already figured it out.
Yeah. Right?
And so just that unfiltered faith that he's gonna provide. But it's hard. It's also been hard.
Yeah.
But I would challenge anyone that's a parent. Parenting is hard.
Yeah.
It is.
Preach. Say louder. Like, it is hard. I think it is hard. I think one of the things I always find myself, like, I don't want to just set that it's hard, but it's so rewarding.
It is.
Right. So, like, I don't want to, like, soft serve it. Like, I don't care. Biological kids, adopted kids, foster kids. You're gonna get a run for your money.
Yeah,
that, there's no doubt about it. But the reward you experience, right, is so amazing. And so I want to talk about just a couple things, because I think when people think fostering, one, fear keeps them, mm-hmm. right? And I think there's two major fears that keep people from even diving in, right? First fear is, can I love a child that is not what we would say mine, mm-hmm. right? A child that is not my biological. I even thought that, like, Ashley and I have adopted, mm-hmm. not fostered, but we went through the adoption process. And I think we lie to ourselves in our minds, like, we forget the gospel that God loved us when we weren't his, right? Mm-hmm. He adopted us into our family. And so that's one of them. And the fear of, how can I love a kid and then fall in love with them and then maybe surrender them back, mm-hmm. right? Talk about how you guys have experienced those things and how you've overcome those fears.
So, well, with the one we are adopting, we got him in the hospital, and the day I laid eyes on that kid, it was like, okay, this is not going to be hard to fall in love with him. The other kids, it takes a little time, but you can't help but fall in love with them.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally taking care of them every single day.
I mean, it's awkward.
Yeah,
awkward it is. People. With background, you have no idea that's in your house. And so I think the first night we always just do, hey, what's your favorite food? And let's play a favorite game, right?
Yep.
And so just so that they're like, we're not mom, we're not dad. You know, there's a couple of kids we had to establish those boundaries. Like, how would your mom feel if you called me mom? And because they're trying to also seek out who you are. So if I give you this fake bonded name, then maybe you'll be kind to me. And so... we just establish those relationships, and then you get to feel out who they are. But it's always you're praying through the whole process.
Yeah.
Like, God, help me keep my tongue, right?
Yeah.
Or help me walk through this. But it's, Lord, help me love them. Lord, help me love them. And so you become an advocate at first. Like, what do they need? Like, what are they walking out of, and what do they need? And so how do I provide that? And it can be small gestures, but it's also, letting go of preconceived notions of, we know the things that are, like, we're not big on TV, right? Like, hey, we're not gonna do this. But if that's been their only vice in a chaotic world, to take that away is so unfair.
Yeah.
And so we put parameters around, what can we watch, right? What if you need to veg out for 40 minutes, Bluey was amazing, right?
Love Bluey.
It's like 7-minute
episodes.
It's
actually interesting for adults, too.
Yes.
You know, you can laugh.
I've caught her watching it when my kids are already in bed.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
I've never been there before.
No, but that was a great, but then right now media has a ton of kid programs. So at first they kind of snarl their nose, like, I don't want to watch this. And I'm like, oh, well, watch The Adventures. And so you watch them and they ask for it, right? Because they know that they can, hey, that's something that she's going to be okay with. So let's watch it. And so there's, you know, we sprinkle God on everything is what we like to be like, hey, how are we going to introduce him to kids that don't know him? And so it's, you start to see your rhythm, and you get to know them, they get to know you, you know, triggers, like, visits are hard for the kids because they go see their parents, they come back and they're at your house. And so you also have to be conscientious of not saying things that put their parents in a poor light because they're also struggling. Mm. What we've seen is it's generations of trauma, right? Like
almost all of the parents have been foster kids themselves. So you can definitely see it's just generation to generation.
Yeah.
And like we've said before, we are like amazing people now because we've had really intelligent, loving, God-fearing people speak into us.
Yeah.
And the lack of that in any family, right? Mm. They don't know the decisions that they're making. So you always, we don't ever want to be like, we're anti-parent. Like we want to love you alongside with your parent. Now we try to make sure we establish relationships with moms and, and so that they know that, hey, we're not here to like discount or go against, but here's some of the roles.
Yeah, we're not trying to take your kids. We're literally here just to take care of them while you're doing what you need to do.
And we say it's adults' jobs to keep kids safe.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we're keeping you safe while mommy makes home safe, right? Yeah. So that it's not your mom's the worst, but it's also like you should know that you deserve to be safe.
Yeah.
And so then we watched with one family, like the relationship, I wanted to parent the mom, right? Like we were talking on the phone, we're doing things together because you could see she also needed that. But it's hard. I mean, I think to foster well, you have to fall in love with them because if you don't, then it's just a kid in your house, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with, you're going to be, it's like missing a family member. Like, oh, and now they're not here.
Yeah.
This is sad. And so.
Yeah, you're going to cry your eyes out for a few days. Like, it's just the reality.
Nothing wrong with crying, too. Yeah. I hear crying actually makes you live longer. So fostering can help in that process, right? I also think expectations are important, right? As you jump in, I think one thing I wish someone would have told me in our adoption process is, like, I just assumed I would, ours is international. So, hey, we're going to get to China. I'm going to see this kid. I'm going to immediately fall in love with him. Biological kids don't work that way either, right? I think parents forget pregnancy is a part of attachment, right? 9 months of preparing, even though that child is present, they're not physically present yet outside of the womb. And so you have 9 months of preparing. And so I think a lot of people jump into foster care or adoption and like, oh, immediately I'm gonna have this magical moment of love. And it's okay that you don't, right? It's okay that it's awkward at first when you don't know them and they, but the process of like building a relationship, then you fall in love is the same with your biological kids. That's the same process. And I think attachment comes with time. And so I guess the question I kind of want to really end with is, you guys have been in it, you've felt the hardship, you've felt the joy. Let's say there's someone listening who is interested, maybe even feels called or they're hesitant, right? What advice would you give them? What challenge would you give them? How would you say, man, I wouldn't miss this, or maybe you would say something different. What would you tell those people listening?
Go ahead.
You're so cute. I would say, don't let fear guide your decisions. The fear of the unknown, I think in any situation, will cause you to kind of pause and be like, do I want to walk through this? And I would say the hardships are outnumbered by the amount of joy that we've had with the kids being in our house, with being able to reconcile with families and watching them grow, being able to, let God use us to speak the gospel in those spaces that we probably wouldn't be able to be missionaries. And I would say that, you know, make sure your family's on board, right?
Yeah.
Because you're introducing not just into our home, but to everyone in your circle.
Yeah.
And walk through, like, what does that feel like for them and any concerns they have? Like, hey, we're bringing this baby home. We're only going to hold him for a while.
Yeah.
He might have an attachment issue right now.
Yep.
And so we're not trying to be unkind with, we want you to snuggle all you want, but we're going to do it for right now just because he needs to attach this so that we don't have to address later issues of attachment disorders or, hey, we're bringing home an 8-year-old, right? Who has toys because we don't have those. And also, how is everyone feeling? And kind of our own guidelines of making sure that like we don't, foster kids aren't treated any differently than the biological kids in our family. So if there's a holiday coming up, we make sure everyone's like okay with that before we just bring, hey, we're bringing 10 kids to your house. We expect you to all brought Easter baskets for them, right?
That's right.
And then connecting with other foster families has been super important for us.
Huge for sure.
Because they understand the struggle, right? Your people that aren't fostering would say things to us about like how we were like addressing an issue. And I'd be like, great, but that's with your biological kid, right? Yeah. Like kids that are rooted in love, you have to guide in a very different place than kids that are not. And so foster families understand like why you're taking the steps that you're taking to make sure that they feel loved and guided, especially when they could be coming from an abusive situation. So like I would watch sometimes the kids, like if my body language was off, how all you could see them all on the defense, right? Because that they've already taught their little brains to guide out that. And so you just do it differently.
Even something like with nieces and nephews, you can yell like, hey, cut that out. If you do that to some foster kids that have been abused, it sends them right into a spiral and have a meltdown. And so you need to definitely have adjustments in discipline and how you're just all sorts of stuff like that. Because things easily send them into spiraling mode.
Well, hey, I want you guys to know how thankful our church is for your investment in our community. And at times, I think what's hard about parenting is you don't always get to see the impact that you're having. And man, I think that you have had seven kids into your home. I don't think you'll ever know the impact that you've had on those children. And so thanks for loving them. Thanks for walking through that journey. I know it hasn't been easy, but God's using it not only in your life, but in so many people's lives and to the people listening, right? I think we can kind of like sum it up. Doesn't matter who you're parenting. Parenting is hard, but it's rewarding and God can use it. And so to all of our parents, thanks for your investment in the next generation. And thanks for living gospel-centered lives. Thanks for joining us. We're going to continue next week. We've got our parenting panel, all kinds of different parents from, you know, grandparents to parents of teenagers to single parents. So we're going to answer all of your parenting questions. It's going to be great. We hope to see you back next week.